Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me all the way from New York City, my co-host and my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton. How are things going out there in the far northeast there, Mr. Paxton?
Oh, it's pretty good. We had an explosion in the electrical system the other day, so that was fun.
Oh, wow.
Fortunately, it was at night, so not too many people got stuck in elevators.
Stuck in the elevator thing, that would terrify my wife. She's claustrophobic. And do you remember in 2000, they were talking about how everything was going to crash, basically, because, Y2K. Yeah. Okay. Well, now that was happening on January the 1st of 2000, right? Mm-hmm. So the Texas Longhorns were playing Arkansas in the Cotton Bowl on January the 1st, 2000. And I'm a Tex-Ex, proud Tex-Ex member. And in the hotel where the Horns were staying, they were holding this big event, the night before. And so Anita and I went, and it's December 31st. She's terrified of electronics crashing and all that kind of stuff. And the hotel was too, obviously. This is a 5-star hotel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they had every elevator. There was 10 elevators, okay? They had every one of them closed off except one. Just one, okay? Because they didn't want everybody to be stuck in all these elevators if everything went south. Nothing happened, obviously. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened. So you've got 1,000 people that are staying in this hotel trying to go to their rooms and overpacking this one elevator. It was a zoo, and she was terrified the whole time. It was crazy. Anyway, before we get too deep into stuff that nobody cares about, let me tell you this. This is our weekend review. We're going to go over what's going on, but I also want to once again hear for you guys. I'm going to put up the title screen one more time. And this is the Weekend Review. Are we witnesses to the fall of America? I believe that we just might be, as the United States seems to get further and further away from the state of Israel. And that's not a good thing. But not only are we going to talk about that, but we're going to talk about what the world is really worried about right now, which seems to be the Ukraine and, of course, the war in Gaza that the United States is taking more and more of the anti-Israel side, in my opinion. So let's just start off here. I'm going to plague you what the world is concentrating on first. And this is the newest thing coming out of Hungary. Let's listen to this one real quick.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Benji Hire with a roundup of the biggest headlines from this past week, a week which ended with Hungary blocking a €55 billion or $55 billion aid package for Ukraine, just hours after an agreement was reached for Kiev to start accession talks with the bloc. Hungary maintains close relations with Russia. Pablo Gutierrez reports from Budapest.
Prime Minister Viktor Orban vowed to oppose Ukraine's EU membership in the future. Orban, during his weekly radio address, said Hungary faced economic difficulties in 2023, but dealt with them on its own. He also expressed his reasoning for his veto on the EU's plan to give €50 billion in aid to Ukraine, saying it could negatively affect Hungary.
EU leaders say Ukraine will not be left without support. The war-torn nation's critically dependent on European and American backing as it continues to fight occupying Russian forces. US President Joe Biden insists failing to provide additional aid to Ukraine would be the greatest Christmas gift to Russia's leader, Vladimir Putin. In a meeting on Tuesday at the White House with his Ukrainian counterpart, Volodymyr Zelensky, Mr. Biden urged lawmakers to pass the supplementary funding. But with a 3-week recess looming, the hopes of Congress reaching a deal by the end of the year remain in the balance.
Okay, so as you can see, the focus, David, for secular people right now is, number one, get Israel out, shut them down, and we'll get into mm-hmm. that we'll get into that in a minute. But number two, let's support the Ukraine and send them billions and billions of dollars, and we don't really care what happens here. I contend, and this is personal opinion, I contend that there's already been enough terrorists come across our southern border that we're already in trouble But again, now that's, you know, that's my personal opinion on that one only. But anyway, what do you think of this thing about Hungary and they're, you know, they're tight with Russia. They're saying there's no way we're going to allow the Ukraine to be a EU member. And they do have a veto vote, by the way. And of course, they're trying to get into NATO too. And I'm not sure if Hungary is in NATO or not. I'm going to have to look that one up real quick. I think they are, but I'm not 100% sure. What's your comments on all that?
Yeah, I'm just concerned because UPS actually stopped deliveries to Russia, Belarus, and Ukraine. So they know something we don't know.
But, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, but I know more than they do as far as the Bible prophecies, and this all of it is just a big ruse, really.
Yeah.
So you see all these nations, and we could take the time to list them out, but it's a radio show. We don't have that much time. But basically, all of these nations are laid out in the Bible.
Right.
But I think one thing prophecy teachers miss is the fact that it's a new batch that comes along. Okay. It's people who don't have a country yet, but they think they want to just take over and rule the world. Mm-hmm. And then out of that, there's one that rises up and takes out three others. And he comes out of nowhere and he says he's, you know, greater than his brothers. In other words, the wording looks like he might be a Nephilim and might be really huge. And that's why people kind of lean towards this guy. And he'll come and basically everyone will love him and he'll take over the world. And we know him as the Antichrist. And they'll come.
Now, you said he was big, like a giant, right?
That's what the word implies. It says he was greater than his brothers.
Okay.
And the word kind of gives the implication that it means physically much bigger.
Would that be sort of like as in the days of Noah? Would that play into
that? That's a really good point, too.
Yeah.
Because Jesus talks about that. He says, as in the days of Noah. And people misconstrue that. They said they'll be buying and selling and doing all this, but that's not the point he was making with Noah. The buying and selling had to do with Lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when he mentioned Noah, it specifically says they will be eating and drinking and taking wives. And if you read it in Matthew, the Hebrew, Matthew was written in Hebrew first. They even have an original copy. And the eating and drinking is actually the words that are used for munching, like crunching down on flesh and drinking blood. So that actually gives more to credence of as in the days of Noah, because we don't know they were selling and buying and getting all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But we do know that they were eating each other. If you read the book of Enoch, it talks about them. They've devoured the whole world, and then they devoured men, and they would steal the wives. And the implication of the words they were marrying and given in marriage in the Hebrew portion of Matthew, it's literally talking about they would steal women and rape them, not they were marrying and given in marriage.
Well,
but like
kinda,
Genesis, they would take wives unto them.
What you were just talking about, they're taking the hostages, basically. That kind of reminds you of Gaza, right? I mean,
it all fits the pattern.
Yeah, I just see things beginning to roll, you know, and it's getting faster and faster, exactly the way the Bible says it would. Anyway, that's one of the things that's going on. Another thing that's going on that captured at least a lot of attention here in the United States revolves around the House of Representatives. Let's listen to this one.
Also on Capitol Hill, the House of Representatives has voted to formally open an impeachment inquiry into President Biden, accusing him and his family of corruption. Ira Spitzer has the details.
On this vote, the yeas are 221 and the nays are 212. The resolution is adopted.
All 221 House Republicans voted to move forward with the impeachment inquiry, while all 212 Democrats were in opposition. The inquiry against President Biden will give them more power to gather evidence ahead of a possible impeachment attempt early next year. Republicans have long alleged corruption in the Biden administration, much of it centered around the president's son Hunter Biden's business dealings, although they have yet to present any conclusive evidence of wrongdoing.
really? They have not produced any evidence of wrongdoing. That guy either lives under a rock or he is a absolute 110% liar. There is so much evidence, and I say this as a member of the U.S. Press Association. It is factually wrong what he just reported. There is a substantial amount of evidence that points toward the big guy. There is an incredible amount of evidence against Mr. Biden. And in my opinion, here I express an opinion as a citizen of the United States. Mr. Biden should be completely convicted of traitorism toward the United States. I believe that he is compromised in China specifically, and I believe that his son should be in jail, and he should be put under the jail, in my opinion, for everything that, we know about him. Again, that is personal opinion, and anybody out there, you can have a different opinion, but I would sure like to hear your reasoning for it, because this guy's a crook. I'm sorry, he's just a flat-out crook. His entire family is, again, in my opinion. But as a news reporter for KRRB, I can tell you there is a lot of evidence. Thank you, David, for putting that up there, because that fits perfectly. It really does. And, you know, for everybody that is just listening on one of the many radio stations that, carries Last Christian, if you would like to see this graphic that David's got up, and I really think that you should, go to YouTube or go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. You can see the visual presentations there, and I think it'd be worth your time. Anyway, David, what do you think about this? Should Biden be impeached, in your opinion? Now, I understand, you know, we might step on some leftist toes here, but should Biden be impeached? And well, you got to understand now who we get. Okay, you got to understand who we get if we impeach him.
That is exactly where I'm going. He's clearly not qualified for the position at this point in time. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to install a very controllable first woman president, mm-hmm. and this was the only way they figured they could do it. It didn't work last time when someone said it's my turn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so now, well, okay, what we'll do is we'll throw her in the back end. Because remember these two, after she got out from under the desk, mm-hmm. she started to run for all these different offices and stuff and then had junk on all these people. Well, they hated each other. Mm-hmm. So the puppet Biden, I don't know which one she hated more, but there was a few of them. And so she hated him. He hated her. They talked about all sorts of derogatory comments. And then all of a sudden, they're in bed together.
Yeah.
So clearly a show, and it's clearly designed because they knew, he wasn't long for this world. So we're going to have this and install our puppet. But mm-hmm. he should have been impeached before it even started.
Yeah. Well, I tend to agree with you. And of course, now what we have just expressed again, specifically for YouTube, that is because we have personal opinions. You know what? What's really strange, David, is that every human being on earth has an opinion. But the problem is that all these people that want to invoke cancel culture and want you to follow what they say, they don't want you to have an opinion. They want to tell you how to think and expect you to do that, or they will cancel you. They won't let your videos stand. They want to call you every name in the book. They want to accuse you of doing all the stuff that they're doing already. You know, that kind of stuff. And I'm fed up with it. I'm just sick of it. You know, so.
The devil's going to do what the devil's going to do. But you got to remember, Jesus already won, and when it looks the darkest, that's when he comes back and says, surprise.
Yeah.
And then one fell swoop of that double-edged sword coming out of his mouth, and they're all gone. That's going to be a glorious day. But how glorious would it be if they were all nice people?
Yeah.
It's only really glorious if they're all...
What would be the point, right? Mm-hmm. So, now... In the second half of the show, and we've still got plenty of time in this one, but anyway, in the second half of the show, we're going to get into Israel, and that's when it's really going to get heated, and I hope that you guys will stick around for that discussion, because we are going to get deep into what's going on over there and how the world is beginning to change now, perspectives are starting to change, as expected, I might also add there. Another thing that's going on has to do with our Federal Reserve. Let's listen to this.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, at a Washington, D.C. press conference, indicated that the Fed anticipates reducing interest rates next year.
Powell added that policymakers at the central bank view current interest rates as possibly at their highest point, expressing cautious optimism about the Fed significantly easing its anti-inflation measures by the end of 2024. This announcement followed the Fed's decision to maintain current interest rates, continuing a halt in its series of substantial rate hikes aimed at combating inflation. Lawrence Keller reporting.
All they do is put their finger up in the air and see which way the wind is blowing, and then they decide how much when we bought our home, we got out in just an incredible interest rate. I mean, I won't go into all the details on it, but we got an incredible interest rate. And now, because of the way that things have gone over the last couple of years and the interest rates, And I'm getting all this information in from, the tax people and all that kind of stuff. We couldn't afford to buy our own house right now. It's crazy. It's just crazy. And we're talking about just in a short 3-year time frame.
It's Bidenomics for you.
Yeah. Which, by the way, he doesn't want that used anymore. It's not playing well publicly. Okay. But
let's use it more then.
Yeah. Here's what the world says about the same thing. Let's listen to this.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking today at interest rates. It's been a mixed bag this week, depending on where you live. In the US, the Federal Reserve kept them unchanged, but indicated there could be 3 moves to lower rates in quick succession next year. In the UK, the Governor of the Bank of England on Thursday said it is too early to speculate about similar moves being taken there. What's the difference between the two economies? Carsten Jung is senior economist at the Institute for Public Policy Research in London.
There is a risk for us leaving interest rates too high for too long. And the key difference to the US is there's much more support for people by the government. So the government is the flywheel, borrowing to invest, borrowing to support incomes, whereas the UK, with its... I might say obsession to hitting its fiscal rule, is cutting government support, including for those most in need, and therefore growth is actually looking much more poor in the UK than in the US. So there could be cause for optimism, but only if the government changes tack, not just the Bank of England.
Another difference between the two countries, the soaring cost of energy in Britain, sparked by the war in Ukraine. But there is pressure growing on the Bank of England now to match the optimism expressed this week by the US Federal Reserve. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
What is really amazing to me is everything seems to get better in an election year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and when I say that, I say it kind of tongue-in-cheek, because basically what they're saying is things are going to get better. I mean, they aren't necessarily better. They just say that they're going to get better. And it happens every time there's an election coming up. You know, we got interest rates that are going through the roof, but it's going to get better after the election. We have gas prices that are beginning to come down a little bit. Things are getting better, but that's going to happen after the election. There's not so many people coming across the border because of our policies, but that won't. You're not going to see that until after the election. It's just amazing mm-hmm. to me. This happens every 4 years, and we've got gullible people in the United States of America that buy it every 4 years. They buy it hook, line, and sinker because they're uneducated as to what's really going on. They don't pay any attention to anything regarding politics at all until, the last maybe week before the election or something like that, and then they just express that they're going to vote for the same people they always did. I saw a report, and I'll let you comment. I saw a report where it was on one of the Fox shows, and they sent people out, and they were talking about Trump. He said, well, he's an idiot. Okay, well, can you give me some specifics? What don't you like? Crickets. What makes him an idiot? Just crickets. They don't know. They're just buying the same old crap. And the thing is, they're calling him an idiot. I'm calling them an idiot. What do you have to say there, David?
Well, Everything is orchestrated. This whole thing is orchestrated. The Federal Reserve is neither federal, nor do they have any reserve.
Right.
It does not belong to the United States government whatsoever. It's all a banking institution.
Right.
So, and they're incorporated in Puerto Rico, which is why they'll never make Puerto Rico a state, because then they'd have to come under all that stuff. So it's all a ruse. They make up inflation. The only reason they create inflation is so the money that you put in their banks is not worth as much, but they still have it. So you have to spend more of it. And now they're just collecting it. Whereas, you know, if you have silver and gold, that just kind of maintains evenly mm-hmm. across the board. There was no such thing of inflation before this era, before the whole banking system took over. There was no inflation. Dollar mm-hmm. was a dollar for right. years and years and years. A pound was right. a pound, and that's just what it was. Mm-hmm. They made it on purpose. It's all designed that way. Same thing with the elections. We all know what's going on with the elections, and mm-hmm. but we don't know what to do about it because right. they're the big bully in the room. Other than to get our big bully Jesus in on it and say, right. hey, you know what, when you're coming back, and he's like, yeah, I got this. You just hang on a minute.
yeah. Yeah. Don't sweat it.
And, that being said, honestly, you know, Trump actually, less than a mile from here is the house he grew up in where I live.
Okay.
So I could drive over there and look at the house, and it's a decent house, a regular upper middle class house that he grew up in until his dad made some real good money. Mm-hmm. Even the hospital right down the street had the whole Trump Pavilion where, you know, they took care of his mom really good. So his father, Trump, built an entire addition to it and said, here, this is a great addition. It was called the Trump section until Trump got in office. Then they went up. They literally paid to go up and take the sign down.
Yeah.
Even though it was his father that built it. It's so disingenuous. But he has a lot of nefarious background too. If you look at his uncle's doings, and with Tesla, he was in the CIA and stole all of Tesla's files. And if you look, there's a book from the early 1900s called The Last President. It talks about Trump, and it even has a Baron Trump in there. It's pretty wild. it was all orchestrated.
Yeah.
But one of the maxims of the evil powers of being, they got to create the chaos in order to provide the solution and say, look, we fixed everything.
Right, right.
And
it's called building the straw man. Building the straw man to where they can tear the straw man down. That's what it's about.
If they need a hero, they'll create their own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, I've been here, and Trump was very, 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 very liberal for all these years.
Oh, yeah.
Years and years and years and years. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he's running for president. Now he's conservative. So he speaks everything that we like.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have that concern, is it a ruse?
Yeah. Well, you know, that was kind of what was talked about before the 2016 election, is, you know, is he really a conservative, or is he going to flip back, you know, and go back to his liberal stances? Yeah.
Is this a real change of heart? And I don't know him personally, so.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I just know that things were a lot better when he was president. You know, for me personally,
100%.
Yeah, things were a lot better, and you know, I felt like that we were doing pretty well. And you know, to elect somebody that's brain dead is kind of hard for me to believe. I'm sorry. I didn't say that the president was brain dead. I did not say that. I really didn't. I promise you, I did not say he was brain dead. He might be, but I didn't say it. Okay. So, anyway, I'm sorry.
I would
about
never
that.
Say that he's brain dead.
Well, you know, he's got some issues. I'll put it that way. Now,
we can
the United States is, you know, I don't know. We just talked about him a little bit here, but some of the decisions that this guy makes are questionable, and one thing that really has me bothered is his lack of concern about our troops overseas, his lack of concern about, you know, American citizens overseas.
Unless they're gay.
Yeah, or trans or what, you know. I mean, if it's a minority thing, and by minority, I'm not talking about black or Hispanic or anything like that. I'm talking about socially minority, you know, because I think 1% of the – country is trans, and yet they get like 99% of the positive stuff coming out. But what I'm referring to here, David, is there was a U.S. destroyer. This was just – now, this is kind of breaking news, actually. This was just overnight. A U.S. destroyer shot down 14 attack drones in the Red Sea. This was this was early this morning. It was the USS Kearney. And these were drones that were launched from the Houthi-controlled area of Yemen, according to our U.S. Defense Department. The quote coming from them is, in the early morning hours of December the 16th, so I just dated the show, hours of December the 16th, the U.S. Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer USS Kearney, which call is DDG-64, operating in the Red Sea, successfully engaged 14 unmanned aerial systems launched as a drone wave from Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen. This according to the U.S. Central Command, or CENTCOM. The UAS were assessed to be one-way attack drones and were shot down with no damage to the ships in the area or reported injuries. The USS Kearney has shot down 37 incoming attack drones in recent weeks. Also, the HMS Diamond, a British warship, shot down another Houthi drone Saturday after the Kearney's hours-long battle in the Red Sea. So, you know, they're attacking us. Are you hearing about that? I mean, are you hearing about any kind of, you know, retaliation or anything? And you're going to have to hold your answer to that for the second half of the show. We'll start off there, and then we'll start in with Israel and why I firmly believe that the United States is about to make a catastrophic mistake. And I'm talking a catastrophic mistake to the point that the United States may cease to exist as a country. And we something that we need to pay attention to, because it's in the Bible that Israel will stand alone. Is this the beginning of the end for us? That's what we need to talk about. And it's serious business. And if you don't think it's going to happen, well, remember, they didn't think that Trump winning the presidency would ever happen. And that happened, and it might happen again. We'll be back right after the break.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Benji Hire with a roundup of the biggest headlines from this past week, a week which ended with Hungary blocking a €55 billion or $55 billion aid package for Ukraine, just hours after an agreement was reached for Kiev to start accession talks with the bloc. Hungary maintains close relations with Russia. EU leaders say Ukraine will not be left without support. The war-torn nation's critically dependent on European and American backing as it continues to fight occupying Russian forces. US President Joe Biden insists failing to provide additional aid to Ukraine would be the greatest Christmas gift to Russia's leader Vladimir Putin. In a meeting on Tuesday at the White House with his Ukrainian counterpart Volodymyr Zelensky, Mr. Biden urged lawmakers to pass the supplementary funding. But with a three-week recess looming, the hopes of Congress reaching a deal by the end of the year remain in the balance. Also on Capitol Hill, the House of Representatives has voted to formally open an impeachment inquiry into President Biden, accusing him and his family of corruption. Ira Spitzer has the details.
On this vote, the yeas are 221 and the nays are 212. The resolution is adopted.
The inquiry against President Biden will give them more power to gather evidence ahead of a possible impeachment attempt early next year. Republicans have long alleged corruption in the Biden administration, much of it centered around the president's son Hunter Biden's business dealings, although they have yet to present any conclusive evidence of wrongdoing. Biden said Republicans were wasting time on what he called a baseless political stunt.
As Israel continues with its bombardment of Gaza, there are growing rifts between the government there and the administration's stateside, with Joe Biden criticizing Israel for what he calls its indiscriminate bombing, which he fears is losing the country international support. US intelligence suggests nearly half of the Israeli munitions dropped on Gaza are what's known as dumb bombs, in other words, unguided and therefore potentially imprecise. Mr. Biden hit out at what he labels the most conservative government in Israel's history, condemning it for seemingly not wanting a two-state solution. This whilst the United Nations General Assembly voted in favour of a draft resolution urging an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. More than three-quarters of the 193-member General Assembly backed the move, which was vetoed by the United States in the Security Council. Here's Jody Jacobs from the UN headquarters in New York.
Before the vote, both the United States and Austria tried to push for amendments to the text, which it says did not condemn Hamas, but this failed. Egypt, who tabled the resolution, told the General Assembly that the resolution is a very simple, clear and explicit one, saying the killings need to stop. Resolutions by the General Assembly are not legally binding, but they do carry immense moral weight.
And representatives from 198 nations have agreed on a climate deal at the COP28 summit in Dubai. The text calls on all countries to transition away from the use of fossil fuels, but not to phase them out. And that's your week in review.
And welcome back to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me all the way from New York, Mr. David Paxton. David, what did you think about all this stuff, you know, the destroyers taking fire, and the United States is doing nothing? I mean, I'm mystified as to why this isn't a bigger story. We're being attacked constantly, well, and the administration's not doing anything about it. What's going on?
That's not their focus. Their focus is let's launder all this money and see if we can get this government out and install the new government. So anything that destroys the remnants of what the United States was is fine with them. And it's the narrative. They can control the narrative. So they do. Like, yeah. Hey, we don't want that, because then people will rise up and they'll get all excited. And then, you know, then we got 1776 all over again.
Yeah.
So they're trying to keep everything down, because that's how you keep control, by the inflation and the interest rates that they're controlling there. They're controlling where they're sending all our money, you know, and that's a whole nother story. They get a lot more money than they pretend to have. And the country is not, well, technically the country is in debt, but they have way more than we can even imagine.
Yeah.
Because they use us. They use us. And that we'll see that in Revelation 18. They said they traffic in some things. And I want to talk about that as we go too. Again, it goes all back to the ruse. They're over there. All these things happen. They want it to happen. So anything they can do to facilitate this destruction of all of the countries of the world so they can build a new one, they'll do. And that includes control the narrative. That's why we don't hear about it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just amazing to me. You know, I never thought that we would not respond at all, but I kind of go back, I don't know, I can't remember what year it was, 60, 68, 69, somewhere in that area, when the U.S. Pueblo was captured off the coast of North Korea. They were in international waters. I've told this story before, but it's worth it for those of you who haven't heard it before. This was a naval vessel that was, you know, in the international waters, and the North Koreans sent out a force, and they captured our crew, and they captured our ship, and they took them back to North Korea. And after they were finally returned, the crew itself was returned, after months of negotiations, they said that they were very disappointed in the United States government, which was then under President Lyndon Johnson. I hate to say he was from Texas, but he was. And
another clown.
What they were complaining about is the fact that they said when they were, you know, being held, that they kept listening and watching, listening and listening. They wanted to hear the sound of B-52s coming over there bombing North Korea. If that meant they died, they were good with that. You know, they just wanted to know the United States cared enough to do something about it, and they didn't. So they were really upset about that. So anyway,
well, he was installed too because they didn't like Kennedy.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. You know, I mean, you know, we can go down the conspiracy theory wormhole.
Well, you know why they really killed Kennedy was because he was going back to the American dollar as opposed to the Federal Reserve notes. Mm. That's why they really killed him.
Yeah, that and the CIA. There's a whole lot there. Like I said, you know, we could spend a lot of time on conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff, you know, but I think conspiracy is more plausible than single shooter, but that's just personal opinion, you know, but you got to remember, I lived like 30 minutes away from where that happened. So I've been there many times, and it's just too easy. It's too easy for it not to be a conspiracy. Okay. So anyway, that's all we'll say on that. I do want, though, to get into what Israel is facing and why I think the United States is in trouble. And we'll start here. Listen to this one real quick.
White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan is meeting officials from the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. They're expected to discuss options for the future governance of Gaza. Earlier this week, Sullivan met Israeli officials to call for a lower-intensity, more targeted campaign in Gaza. President Joe Biden says he wants Israel to be more careful as it carries out its operations against Hamas, which have killed more than 18,000 Palestinians. Israel says it will fight until it achieves an absolute victory.
Okay, so you can see there that's a sort of a hint at the fact that things are going south between the United States and Israel. And this one takes it just a little bit further. Same topic, a different report. Listen to this one.
As Israel continues with its bombardment of Gaza, there are growing rifts between the government there and the administration stateside, with Joe Biden criticizing Israel for what he calls its indiscriminate bombing, which he fears is losing the country international support. U.S. intelligence suggests nearly half of the Israeli munitions dropped on Gaza are what's known as dumb bombs, in other words, unguided and therefore potentially imprecise. Mr. Biden hit out at what he labels the most conservative government in Israel's history, condemning it for seemingly not wanting a two-state solution. This whilst the United Nations General Assembly voted in favour of a draft resolution urging an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. More than three-quarters of the 193-member General Assembly backed the move, which was vetoed by the United States in the Security Council. Here's Jody Jacobs from the UN headquarters in New York.
153 member states have voted in favour of the resolution, calling for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire, demanding that all parties comply with their obligations under international law and the unconditional release of all hostages. But before the vote, both the United States and Austria tried to push for amendments to the text, which it says did not condemn Hamas, but this failed. Egypt, who tabled the resolution, told the General Assembly that the resolution is a very simple, clear and explicit one and is long overdue, saying the killings need to stop. Resolutions by the General Assembly are not legally binding, but they do carry immense moral weight. The world has spoken, says one diplomat here in New York, but we'll have to wait and see whether either side in this Middle East conflict adheres to this resolution.
Okay, they carry extreme moral weight or something like that. Okay, in other words, nothing. There's absolutely nothing that they can actually do. And I can tell you this as a fact: Israel doesn't care what the United Nations thinks. They don't. They're going to take care of themselves. No matter what the United Nations wants to talk about, the United Nations didn't protect them. You know, when they weren't a country, United Nations didn't even exist. You know, it's all created after the fact. And, you know, they made it clear Holocaust never going to happen again. And here you got an attack on Israel and everybody's blaming Israel because they got attacked. That was kind of stupid. But anyway, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, what is the UN going to do if Israel says no? What are they going to do?
Exactly. And it's just a joke.
Yeah.
Like every single resolution, like I think 95% of the resolutions has something to do with putting down Israel, the United Nations. Like that's the only reason they exist.
Yeah.
That's why God says, why do the nations rage and they carry on? Talks about every nation. And that would include this one. I got news for you, folks. This is not the America you think it is or it was in the past.
No, it's not.
Fact, it's not. This whole world system. Jesus called us out of it. He says, we're in the kingdom of God. And he said, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. So we are the ambassadors here. We are the representatives of Christ. And as an ambassador, when we speak, it is as Jesus Christ himself is speaking. So, because that's an ambassador, and an attack on an ambassador is considered an attack on the entire nation. So that's why we're here protected, and that's why right now, while the church is still here, we could see why these things haven't exploded. We can see why America hasn't been judged yet for the atrocities that it's doing with abortion and all these special rights that we have and all this other stuff. Well, how come it's not judged yet? Well, just like Lot, you remember the angels came down to Lot, and if you read it, people don't realize this, but there's a picture of the rapture with Lot because they came down and they grabbed his hand, and the next second
forced him out. Forced him out.
It wasn't like they ran to the field. They said they grabbed his hand, then they were in the field, like right next to each other. It wasn't, hey, well, let's run away. No, boom, gone. It's another picture of the rapture. It's a type and a pattern. And that's what's going to happen here. And then that when that happens, poof, all the judgment comes down. So that leads you to believe that, you know, it will be like a catalyst almost for the 7-year tribulation. But it's all Babylon. Remember? We talked about that when we had Randy on for the C2K report. Everything is Babylon. So let's go into a little bit of that.
Yeah, we do need to get into a little bit of that. I just want to make it really clear here. You know, they're talking about dumb bombs. They were criticizing Israel for the use of dumb bombs. I want somebody give me an example of a smart bomb that was used in World War II, World War I, Vietnam War.
Or by Hamas.
Korean War. How about Hamas's attack on Israel? How many smart bombs were used in that? In other words, there's one set of rules for Israel, and then there's another set of rules for civilized countries, and then there's another set of rules for terrorists, and the terrorists are given special permissions and special exclusions. Am I close on that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
It's just ignorance is overwhelming.
I've got three reports here I want to get to, but I want you really quick to go ahead and tell us about Babylon, because a lot of people think Babylon is the United States. Neither one of us think so. We both agree on what it truly represents, but I think it would be good if you described that. So go ahead, take as much time as you want.
There's definitely the prevailing summation, but you got to remember when Jesus came, the Bible said he will come out of Bethlehem, he'll come out of Nazareth, and he'll come out of Egypt.
Right.
And everyone's like, no, and they're arguing back and forth, right? You can see them now arguing. I'm in the Egypt camp. I'm in the Bethlehem camp. But he came from all three.
Yes, he did.
He fulfilled all of that. You really got to look at this. So, Babylon is the world system. So you can't just say, oh, it's Babylon is America and that's it. In a sense, because, the Babylon system is running America right now, but it's also running the rest of the world.
Right.
So you have... He will come out of literal Babylon, come out of her, but also the representation of Babylon in the governments and stuff. So you really have to look at prophecy from that esoteric point of view. There are hints and types and patterns, and it's an allusion to what's going to happen, because if I spell out exactly what's happened, first of all, you wouldn't believe it, and second of all, then the devil would know and he'd try to thwart it. But what's going to happen to Israel is in Revelation 12. Talks about the vision in the heavens with the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And then the devil comes. Third of the angels are wiped out, and Israel runs into the mountains. Zechariah tells us that 2/3 of them will actually be destroyed. So unfortunately, there will be another, what we would term a Holocaust, according to the Bible.
Right.
But the one of the major things here is... And we see Babylon all over, but the end times Babylon is in Revelation. And in 14, verse 8, it said there followed another angel. Remember, he's seeing this vision of description. It's saying Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Okay, that led people to think, okay, all nations are drunk with the wine of the United States. And then when you get into 18, and you look in, starting at verse 10, standing afar off of fear of her torment, saying, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgment has come. Okay? All of a sudden, it's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. So does that mean a specific location? Does it mean Babylon, the city over there? Does it mean a representation of it to be in the United States? I would suggest maybe all three, like when Jesus came. Right. So, and the merchants, check this out. It's a little bit lengthy, but watch at the very end. Merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. So it's talking about merchandise, mm-hmm. controlling your buying and selling, right? The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all the tine wood and all manners of vessels of ivory and manners of vessels of precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men.
There you go. That's the big one.
This is what we talk about in the C2K report with your birth certificate and your social security number. That's your soul, your essence of your being. And it's not a slave because he already mentioned slaves mm-hmm. and the souls of men. Mm-hmm. This is the Babylon system where they control everybody and it ultimately leads to the mark of the beast. That's all. That will be destroyed in 1 hour, and that's going to be a fine day.
Now are we here for that? We're not here for that, right?
No, this is anything after Revelation 4, verse 1 is
after the church age.
The tribulation period.
Yeah, after the church age.
Let's hit on that. Let's slam the rapture home, because he said, after this I looked. All right, so he's talking about in chapters 2 and 3, he's talking about the seven churches, which are an exact analogy of the churches through the age from the time when Jesus was here till now.
Right,
those
right.
actually represent the church period. It's crazy mm-hmm. in a good way. So after this, John says, I looked and behold, it says in the King James, a door was open, but the Greek is portal. Behold, and a portal was open to heaven. And the first voice I heard was like a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here. And I will show you the things which must be hereafter.
Right.
So right there, we see the 24 elders. We see the rainbow around the throne. The 24 elders are analogous of the church, 100%. You could just look at their description. They wear crowns, and mm-hmm. they're kings and priests. That mm-hmm. only represents the church. And here, the church is in heaven around the throne after this portal was opened, and then all these other things come afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So you better get ready, folks.
Yeah, you better. Yeah, you better be ready, because this could happen at any time. Because just like there is a last play in every football game, there is going to be that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. So if you get left behind, you're going to have to deal with a lot of bad stuff. And you can avoid that by simply saying that prayer of salvation. Tell the Lord you know you're a sinner. Ask for his forgiveness. Tell him that you know that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, that he rose after 3 days. He sits at the right hand of God. He's coming back for his church before he unleashes the wrath. That is going to be worse than anything the world has ever seen or ever will see again. Pray that prayer of salvation in your own words, and make sure you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And if you are that last Christian, the next face that you see is going to be that of Jesus Christ, and you'll be surrounded by all Christians, living and dead, including me and David, up there in the clouds along with you. And we look forward to that. David, I want to tell you what the world is focused on right now. And then mm-hmm. I'll give you some other information here. But there's been a tragedy in Gaza. This is going to be blown up. I promise you, you're going to hear this for days. Okay? Three hostages were mistakenly shot dead by Israeli troops. Okay. And that headline is going to be on every news agency that you can think of, I guarantee you. The IDF soldiers mistakenly identify Israeli hostages. Their names are Yotam Haim, Samer Taleka, and Alon Shamiras, and I'm sure I'm butchered all of them. They were identified as a threat. They were shot, and they were killed. Now, the IDF believes that the three hostages were accidentally shot after they escaped captivity or were abandoned by the terrorists who were holding them because of the fighting. They are investigating this action, but it was an accident. They didn't target terrorists or target hostages. They didn't do that. It was a mistake. And the thing is they're admitting it. They're telling you they did it, okay? They're being completely transparent in this thing. I haven't heard Hamas be transparent about anything they do. But Israel is trying to, you know, they're trying to explain, look, you know, by the way, there's reports coming out that these guys were shirtless and were waving a white flag. I mean, that's the reports that are coming out of the Hamas side. So, you know, how much of that is true, I really don't know. But I can tell you that Israel admitted they made a mistake. They killed three hostages. What the world needs to concentrate on is why they were there. Hamas invaded Israel. They killed thousands of Jews. They took a bunch of them hostage. They've been holding them. You know, I'm sorry. Bad things happen. Now, get into this a little bit more to tell you the way these people think, okay? Jerusalem, this happened in Jerusalem. Again, this is today, okay, in Jerusalem. The Arabs there, residents of Jerusalem's Arab neighborhoods, celebrated as air raid sirens sounded in the city and nearby areas. The sirens were the first heard in Jerusalem since October the 30th. In a video clip published to social media, the Arabian residents of Jerusalem can be heard responding to the siren with cheers and whistles. And according to reports, a rocket fired from Gaza exploded near a hospital in Ramallah. Okay, so you're not going to hear too much about that because that's that's them, the terrorists doing something. Oh, by the way, did they have smart bombs in that? I don't think they did. I think those are pretty much stupid bombs. Also, UN, Israel's UN envoy, Hamas. Now, this one, I'm going to be curious, David. You tell me if you think this is going to be reported. Okay, here's the headline, and then you tell me, and then I'll read the whole thing. The Israeli UN envoy, Hamas has attacked the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's the big one there in Jerusalem. And the Iron Dome came to its defense. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do you think about that? In other words, Hamas shot up some stupid bombs, stupid missiles, and they targeted Jerusalem, and they even tried to target their own mosque on the Temple Mount.
Yeah.
And the Israeli Defense Force, Iron Dome, prevented the destruction. Do you think that's going to be reported in the mainstream media?
No, it was orchestrated on purpose because that are like they're going to bomb their own mosque and then blame Israel for it and try and get everybody's attention.
Exactly.
And sadly enough, the sheep of the world are just going to fall for it. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Palestine. Oh. And it's just ridiculous. And this is what they do regularly. Matter of fact, it also leads me to believe that they did this with the hostages that were shot. Sadly, it's a very sad thing.
Yeah.
But it would not surprise me if Hamas dressed them in their own clothes and put that stuff and then sent them out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either. It wouldn't surprise me either.
Thing that came to my mind is they probably set the whole thing up.
Yeah, and on that note, there's reports that they've got I've seen these reports already, including the video, where they went into hospitals and schools and pulled out these terrorists, you know, that they said weren't there. Well, they got them. Okay. So, you know, that's just something else to go by there and show you Hamas is nothing but a liar, which puts them right in there with the great deceiver, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, Ambassador Gilad Erdan, Israeli, he told the United Nations General Assembly that Israel had protected the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the holy site for Muslims in Jerusalem, for Hamas, sharing his speech on X. He said that Israel is defending the Al-Aqsa Mosque from Hamas missiles. He said, just as ISIS destroyed mosque, Hamas-ISIS is willing to blow up Al-Aqsa. For Hamas, murdering Israelis is more important than Islamic holy sites. This is what I said today in the UN General Assembly as I showed the Iron Dome interception of a Hamas missile fired toward the Temple Mount. These are the terrorists that the UN has chosen to protect. Unbelievable, unquote. Now, I think that, you know, that just goes to show you that, you know, the mainstream media is not going to pick up on anything pro-Israeli. I can promise you that. Dave, we've got about 2 minutes. If you want to comment on that, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point, is that just shows you how unimportant that mosque is to them, which means it's all a ruse to just try and take over Jerusalem because they know that land belongs to God.
Right, right. Well, now, do you think that there are weapons, soldiers, and that type of thing in that mosque? I mean, I'm asking that question, not knowing the answer.
I was never there, but if I were to bet on it, then I'd probably say 80%.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say it's more like 99.9%, but, you know, that's just my personal opinion. I got nothing to back that up, absolutely nothing. I mean, maybe it is a place to go and...
But I think it'll be a good bet.
Yeah, I do, but, you know, again, it's just my personal opinion. But the thing is, overall... is that Israel is never going to get any credit for anything good. They're going to be blamed for everything that's bad. And I have said this for a long time. I believe that no matter how it happens, when Isaiah 17:1 is fulfilled and that Damascus ceases to be a city and becomes uninhabitable, that Israel is going to be blamed for it, whether it had anything to do with it or not. You know, that's just my personal opinion. You got about 30 seconds to respond, David.
Well, listen, all of this is coming to a fruition now. Bible is crystal clear that the church is a different set of individuals, and it will not be here when Yeshua comes and has to deal with Israel again for that final week, that 7-year tribulation. You can't mix the two people groups together. There is Israel and there is the church, and they're both saved by the Messiah. Israel's about to repent and receive him as well.
Yeah. Well, and we look forward to that day. Of course, now we're not going to be here because we're Christians, and we're going to be caught up with every Christian living and dead in the air with Jesus when he comes back for his church. And we hope that you guys that have not yet accepted Jesus will do so to where you can be a part of that glorious moment. We will be back for another edition of Last Christian next week. We hope that you'll join us then. Until then, everybody, good night and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.